Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver.
And this is Steve from Gilbert, Arizona.
And we're continuing on with the Gospels. We're in Matthew, the first book that we must understand to understand about the kingdom of the heavens and that Jesus is the King. And we were reading in Matthew chapter 9, verses around 35 to chapter 10, verse 1. And Andy had some comments on that.
That Jesus was going around in all the cities and villages and teaching in their synagogues, and he was preaching about the gospel of the kingdom. He didn't say the kingdom of the heavens here, but he'd been saying the kingdom of the heavens all the time. And so now he's using the word gospel, which you can really say that word means good news. It's the Greek word like evangelizing. Evangelist, it's the good news about the kingdom, and he was healing every sickness and every disease among the people.
There was a whole lot of healing. He did the healing first, and then he was teaching through demonstration, wouldn't you say? It's like a lab.
They were encompassed. It wasn't, I'm going to do a teaching today, and tomorrow I'll do some healing. It was all involved.
Does it remind you of walking with certain men of God, like a man that we both knew, and walking with him and actually seeing the healing in people's lives? We saw a lot of people being raised from the dead, sometimes actually dead and being raised up, but a person who was separated from God, all of a sudden having a new life in God. That's the same thing, isn't it?
It is. They're being a brand new person.
Yeah, and they are brand new.
They literally are a brand new person.
That person that was born up, born from above, but born up was different, night and day. And you had a couple of other comments. Was that the only one about that before we went on?
No, I was just talking about that one to start with.
Okay.
And it says here that in verse 36 that he was moved with compassion for them. So you can think of Jesus if you don't think that he was a person here and that he had cares and concerns and love for people, he did. He wasn't walking around aloof. He was walking around, even though that he was the King, he was walking around with compassion for people.
And he'd put on man's nature. He'd taken on man's fallen nature. And he could see, so he was probably tempted with these things, but because he was mature, he was God, he never succumbed to it. But he saw people distressed and dispirited.
And because he saw them and they were scattered and they didn't have and they were like a sheep without a shepherd. And he saw how their condition was.
How about the distressed and dispirited? Are people that way today? Boy, there's been such a change in the last days. Perilous times will come, and men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money. But you can also see the stress on people today, the mm-hmm. way they drive, and the way they react, and the looks on their faces.
And scattered means you don't know what to do, and you don't know where to go. You don't have the answers to get your life right. And Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few."
Now, there are plenty of religious people around, But they weren't. They were actually.
And he said that they weren't. He said they weren't part of it. The laborers were few.
No, the religious people were not part of it. Could you imagine if the Lord comes right now, and really doing these works? Do you see a person doing this that actually these church folks were turning against God? They turned out to be his main enemies. The religious people of that day. Do you think it's the same today? Are they fulfilling what it shows in the Bible? Are they like Christ? Are they Christ-like?
No, there's a scripture. It says they worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, which reminds me of this.
And he told his disciples to pray to the Lord for the harvest, to send out laborers into the harvest.
So now guess where he's going to go? Since he said that, we're going to see some action here. How about reading chapter 10, verses 2, and do two contexts, do through 15. 2 through 15,
well, before Matthew we 10. Do that, verse 1 just says what he said. What Steve's saying, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, just read from 1 to 15.
Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them, "Do not go in the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter any city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of the heavens is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received, freely give. Do not acquire gold or silver or copper for your money belts, or a bag for your journey, or even two coats or sandals, or a staff, for the worker is worthy of his support. And whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and stay at his house until you leave that city. As you enter the house, give it your greeting. If the house is worthy, give it your peace. But if it is not worthy, take back your peace. Whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off of your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city."
So when's the last time you saw somebody actually doing all these things? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, freely you have received, freely give. It says you'll know them by their fruit. And when I started seeing things like this happen, it was shocking. And I didn't see them all happening in great number like this, because Jesus had to fulfill this in 3.5 years. He had to teach these 12, so he divided six times. So six started doing the work of Jesus. Now you'd say, well, no, 12 did. No, they went out in pairs. They worked two by two. And one puts to flight 1,000, two puts to flight 10,000. So even though they were cut down into 6 versus 12, it still multiplied, and even more than you can think. So so two of them together, instead of 2,000, it became 10,000. So it actually increased, fivefold? It increased fivefold. So instead of 6, it actually became 30. When you really look at it, for power, one puts to flight 1,000, two puts to flight 10,000. And so by working in pairs, does it say they went out in pairs here? Or is this another place?
Didn't say it yet. It just said that he sent them out. It didn't get more detail yet.
Okay, well, we'll just let you know that now, but we're not going to go into detail on that. But they did. They went in these pairs. And they were to go out not to the Gentiles, not to the Samaritans. That was going to be later in the book of Acts. So we got to go through these four steps before you see the preaching into all the world. But he wanted to go to the lost house. What did he say here? And this one
verse
in Matthew.
Six.
Okay, go ahead and read that.
10:6. It says, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Yeah, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So, but then later in the book of Acts, they're going to go Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Then they would go out. Anything else that you picked up that really stood out to you? It talked about entering people's houses. It talked about there's two denominations right now that go to people's houses, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, and independent groups might do that. But that's also another, you'll know if they're doing God's will because they will do that. And it'll shock people. They'll think you're a Mormon. They'll think you're a Jehovah's Witness. And the problem is with both of those groups is they each have their own Bible. Did you know that? The JWs have their own interpretation, and so do the Mormons. And they say they believe in the Bible, but they try to draw you into the Book of Mormon. And that is the purpose of that. They'll go right into that, into their book. And what happens if you add to the word?
It says there's plagues that would be added to you that are written in this book.
Yeah. But it's interesting to me that the religious groups today don't go out in great numbers, two by two.
I was sitting down at a Starbucks not long ago, and there were four ministers that came in there. I was reading my Bible. They came in there. I was sitting a little bit away from them. And they talked for about an hour and I couldn't help but hear them because they were talking. They were talking loud enough to hear. I wasn't eavesdropping. And they said they were trying to figure out ways to get their membership up. And, one person would say this and one person would say the other. And this went on for about an hour, and then they got up and left. And I just thought to myself, I just listened to them the whole time, and they're at a pretty good-sized church in this town, and they never once prayed. They never once had a Bible, opened it up, or said anything about it. And then they were off to come up with some new ways to get some people to join their church. And I just went, really? I go, this is for real. They didn't even use the Bible and didn't even inquire to God for direction. So when I read these things, I think about, wow, if you go to a house and it's worthy, you let your peace come upon it. Now, think about that. That says that if you're doing this, that there's some peace on you that could come upon it. Because let your peace come. It didn't say God. It says let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you or hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake the dust off your feet. So apparently if you get near people that don't want to accept it, it can put what on your feet? A certain form of dust that's not good. He wants you to get it off your feet. It'd be like people when they walk around and they pick up something from somebody they talk to, they carry that attitude around or that anxiety around. He says, no, just leave it right there and move along. And then if people don't receive this, Jesus says this. He starts out with the word amen. Amen, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. I mean, wow, I can't even comment on that. He said something really strong there. If this message is rejected, people reject Jesus. It's not going to go unnoticed.
Sodom and Gomorrah, it was like an atomic bomb went off.
Yeah.
In Sodom and Gomorrah. And even Lot's wife looking back turned to salt. It was something he said that they were to flee Lot, and his two daughters were to flee and not look back. How about the next context is 16 to 33.
Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils to scourge you in their synagogues. And you will be brought before governors and kings for my name's sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of God who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he that endures to the end will be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of the household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna, or hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven.
So right here, Jesus talks about the price of being a disciple, being a student, that it's going to be a hard road in some ways, yet it'll be righteousness, peace, and joy. And he knows every bit about us. He cares for every bit of us. But it's in the verse 24 and 25, it talks about us. So what do you think of? What's your take on a disciple? It doesn't mean a son of God. It doesn't mean a son, but it's, to me, it's more like a beginner, a person starting to walk on the path. And these people were not yet called my son, but it is, because there is a point of sonship, but we're not talking about that in Matthew. We're talking about discipleship. And we're not talking like going to school, going to Bible college, or whatever. We're talking, this discipleship is walking with Jesus. And if we walk through the Bible every year, we read Matthew, every chapter in it, you start to learn this discipleship, and all of a sudden you can see some of these parts you're missing, that you're lacking in a bit, and you need to do some practicing, some discipleship in it. What are you thinking about, Andy?
Well, he's saying a disciple's not above his master, above his teacher, and a disciple is not above his master. It's enough. It's enough now if a disciple is like him. So he wants us to be like him.
But then he adds in there a slave being above his teacher. And so starting off early on, you know, when you start in kindergarten, kids are more unruly and they need to start learning how to go into the first grade. There's more and more rules. And then hopefully in the schools like we went to, you started becoming narrowed down in when you talked, when you didn't talk, how you respected others and got along and so on. So isn't it interesting he throws a slave in there too, like that love slave again. Mm-hmm. It's not just discipleship, but we have to learn to be, you know, like you don't, when you go to work in a place, you don't start in the top position.
You learn how things work and starting at the bottom.
Well, it goes along right with being born. And when you're born, you're a baby. And so then you learn things from that point of view. And that would be blended in with that. And he told them that if they've called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more those of the household? And that as you're doing this, you're going to be called things. You're going to be called things that are evil, and you're not evil, and you're not to fear them.
So one thing about joining Jesus' family and starting off in his household, he says there's going to be people that are going to treat you badly, that they're going to malign you. They're going to speak evil of you.
Just because you're with Jesus.
Yeah. But then he goes and says, don't fear it.
Because you will fear it.
Yeah. You will, that the natural inclination, there's some people that start to walk with God and they get ridiculed and they leave the path because they don't like the ridicule.
Well, this is where you hide. First place people hide. Watch. My hands over my mouth. That's what you hide. You hide what you say. That's a form of hiding. Don't say anymore. So Jesus says, okay, what I tell you in the dark, I want you to speak in the light, and what you hear in your ear, I want you to preach from the housetops. In other words, don't quit telling what the message is. Don't go hide.
Well, what is everybody afraid of? I would say probably confronting people. Well, when you go and knock on somebody's door and you go talk to them about the kingdom of God and invite them to come in to eternal life, and people are afraid to do that. They're afraid of the face of man. Isn't this interesting that this is in this first step?
And then he turns it up a notch. Don't fear those who that can kill you. He turns it way up. But they can't kill your soul. You're like, huh. But rather, now he changes, rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul, soul and body in hell. Him I say fear. So he's deciding here, showing you who you should fear and who you shouldn't. And it's not man.
Also, what's interesting in this context is we not only have the Son of God who lowered himself to become a man, and to do all that for us. And then he goes on and tells us in verse 30 that the very hairs of our head are all numbered, and we are not to fear them because we are of more value than, well, he likes it to sparrows, but we are of great value. We are of a huge value to God. And a sparrow, well, not one sparrow falls out of the sky and God doesn't know it altogether. And he says, you are of more value.
And over, we hadn't mentioned this yet, it says, don't worry about what you're going to say when people challenge you. For it's not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. So now all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes into this picture, and he's going to tell us what to speak, and that we're not to worry about all that. So if we know what we know, and we've looked at what the Bible says, and we keep involved in that, the Holy Spirit is going to tell us what to say in a situation. We don't have to worry about that.
You know, it's interesting. God makes you more different than anybody else on this earth. We are strangers and pilgrims, it says, but we are also unusual. What's that scripture that says we are unusual? We are peculiar.
A peculiar generation.
People.
Yeah.
What's it?
A chosen generation of peculiar people.
And we are peculiar.
Peculiar.
And the
That's his word.
The word, the world has never seemed to like Jews, but he is a Jew. He's not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is a Jew who is one which is Judea. They're of the tribe of Judea. It's just a shortened form of it. It's not a derogatory thing because I'm very proud of being part of Judea. And but he is one who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is of the heart, according to the Spirit. It's not according to the letter of the law. That is a Jew. And we are peculiar. And here we are, and God sends these peculiar people out. We're unusual to go talk to people who seem to have it together. But I don't know if there's a man on the earth that really is totally satisfied with himself. I know for certain there are people out there that want more, they want to change in their lives. And you won't find it until you succumb or submit to the Lord. And it says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts.
So he's telling new followers of his, brother will deliver up brother to death. Father, his children. Children will rise up against the parents and cause them to be put to death. This is serious.
It's a frank talk, isn't
this,
it?
He's saying this to people like he's not trying to get followers. He's telling them these truths.
This is not for the cowards.
This is not.
No.
And you will be hated by all for my name. But he that endures to the end shall be saved. He's telling everybody from pretty much a big, big picture from A to Z right there. You have to endure the end to be saved. People are going to try to kill you. They're going to hate you because of me. Your family's going to turn on you. These things are, and don't worry, don't fear somebody if they're just going to kill you. These are things that if you said that to a crowd of people today, you would look out there and you wouldn't see many people left in the seats.
This is a more select group than the Marines, Andy. More
this
select
is,
than
this
the
is
Marines.
The few.
Yeah.
This is the few.
Are you ready to take this?
That's
but
right.
But the reward eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him.
Right.
Willing to be different according to the world, willing to stand up.
You know, if you read these words out open like this, and you just go, it's saying a lot. And people will say, oh, you don't want to scare people away. Well, it's if you're reading Jesus' words, you're not scaring them away. They're just not wanting to what?
Walk with him.
Not wanting to follow Jesus.
Or to suffer with him. But the rewards are out of this world. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347. Vancouver, Washington, 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.